And I enjoyed studying for this one. And if you're taking notes, the title of it is Good News in Bad Times. Good News in Bad Times. And as a pastor, that's one of a pastor's responsibilities, or one of, I guess, privileges, is to shed good news. There are going to be bad situations, and we've said it before that you're either going through a trial, just came out of a trial, or fixing to go in a trial. Sometimes you do have smooth sailing. We just preached about that not too long ago, about what to do when the storm comes, things like that. And so anytime you get bad, there's bad times. I mean, even in the best of times, there's going to be some bad times, and it comes up in our life. But there's always good news. And the devil wants to do is he wants to magnify the bad times and make us feel like, oh, it's over, what's the use, things like that. I might as well just quit. But even in bad times, we can find good news. And just by the way of introduction, I'll give you three examples. I mean, the Bible's full of situations like this where there was bad times going on, but all of a sudden there was some good news. And of course, the one that popped in my mind first was our sins, the sins of the world. Of course, that's a bad time. And if you look at the sins of the world, counting mine, counting yours, unforgiven sin would send you to hell. And of course, there's people out there right now living their life, walking through life with unforgiven sins. And so if they die, they will go to hell. That's bad times. They're living in bad times. But the good news is somebody could give them a tract. Somebody could invite them to church, or somebody could share the gospel with them, and they get saved. That's exactly what happened to us. Somebody shared the gospel with us, and we got saved. So, however, good news in bad times is Jesus will forgive your sins. All you got to do is ask. And we see here, and you can he can make it possible for you to be on your way to heaven. So bad times, going through life unsaved. If you stay there and don't listen to the good news, obviously it's going to stay bad times. But there is good news in bad times. Second, we see here, the second thing that popped into my head when I was studying for this was the world situation. Of course, you look at Israel and what's going on over there. And there's other places that are in that type of situation throughout the world. So the world is in a bad situation. And all of that is because of sin. And so forth. And so in that bad time, there is good news. 1 John 4:4, here's the good news. Ye are God's little children. So even though that the world is in a war over in Israel, and there's sin running rampant in our world today, there is good news. 1 John 4:4, ye are little children, or ye are of God, little children, if we're saved. Even though we have a rough world, we're God's children. But then it says here, and ye have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you, there's the good news, than he that is in the world. Obviously, God has allowed Satan to be the god of this world and be the prince and the power of the air and kind of dictate what goes on here and all the sin and things like that. But greater is he that's in us when we got saved than he that's in this world. So we see that even though there's bad stuff going on in our world, we got Jesus inside of us. We're his child, and he's greater than anybody that rules and reigns in this world, and that's the devil. Also, Hebrews 13:5 says this, let your conversation be without covetousness. I wish it was better. I wish it was this. I wish it was that. The Bible says here, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. And it says here, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So even in a world of bad times, running rampant, Jesus is right here with us. And I showed this to Colton, obviously. He was here last Wednesday night, and he had just gotten saved on Wednesday. He'd heard some preaching Sunday. He's been asking questions for a while. And you could tell he was putting it together in his head. His dad obviously was wanting the Holy Spirit to draw. He didn't want to force the situation. He wanted to make sure he was ready. And as a parent, I remember those days. That's scary. But the Bible says they're safe until they come to that age of accountability. And that's, again, that's different for different people. But anyway, Colton got saved. And so, he had heard Sunday. I think the pastor had said, if you've been thinking about being saved and you would like to go to heaven one day, things like that, I want you to look at me. It was during the invitation. And, Jason said he was like, You're trying to, you know, see, and Colton, sure enough, Colton looked at him. And, of course, there were several other people there. And you know, he just went through the gospel and things like that and said, you know, you need to take care of that and so forth. And so I guess it was Wednesday when Sharon was picking up the kids in Tennessee. Jason was moving the car seats over from his car to my wife's car. And Colton told him, said, Dad, I want to be saved. And he said, right now? He said, yes, I want to be saved right now. And so, anyway, they got back in their car, and he asked him why he needed to be saved, and I mean, he answered every question. You could tell he had it. And so, praise the Lord, he got saved. And so, of course, you know, Jason was trying to give him some assurance, things like that, and he said, Dad, you know, anything that you want to say to him while he's at your house, he said, because I want him to be sure. And in one of my child evangelism classes in college, they showed us something for kids to help remember. And again, there have been people that have forgotten what they prayed or forgotten. They went back and they got their assurance. So that could happen to anybody. But I went up to Colton and I said, you know, hold out your hand. And so he held out his hand. And I was like, say this with me. And he said, okay. And I was like, Jesus. And he was having a hard time. He had to put his pinky up like that. He couldn't do it. I don't know why. But I was like, Jesus will never leave me. And I was like, do that again. He said, Jesus will never leave me. So all during the time that he was here, I said, hey, Colt. And he would put his hand out. Jesus will never leave me. Right? And that's exactly what that good news is right there in Hebrews 13:5. Even though there may be craziness going on, bad news everywhere. Pretty much that's all the news it is. They don't usually announce on the TV much about good stuff, but it's bad stuff, bad stuff, bad stuff. So-and-so shot. This building collapsed. This building burned. This plane crashed. Bad, 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 bad. But in that bad situation, we see here that's greater this he that's in me than he that's in this world. He will never leave me nor forsake me. So good news in bad times. Here's the third one. So we had our sin, but we can get saved, taken care of. We have a bad world to live in as far as situations going on, but Jesus will be with us. He will never leave us. Third thing here is our flesh is still here. You get saved, took care of the sin. You get saved, he's inside of you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Here we see here, I can't get saved enough to get rid of my flesh. I can't get saved enough to get rid of my old man. The Bible tells us we're going to have to drag him around until we get to heaven. So we have our old nature still here. We got saved, but we didn't get perfect. We ought to be becoming perfect. That's why you read the Bible. That's why you pray. That's why you go to church. That's why you try to grow. Try to be more like Christ. But this old nature is still here. So that's bad times. That old nature will pop its head up. That flesh will pop its head up. Our temptation will pop its head up. So the old man, our old nature, our human side, not our spiritual side, our flesh side. The Bible says that it was crucified with Christ in Romans 6:6. So our old nature, our old flesh, and our old human side, old man, was crucified with Christ in Romans 6:6. But just like Jesus resurrected, the old nature will resurrect itself. That old nature will resurrect itself. That old man will resurrect itself. That flesh will resurrect itself. It keeps popping up. That's why we have to do what the Bible says. Crucify the flesh. I die daily. So here's the bad times. That flesh is going to pop up, make you think something you shouldn't think. That flesh will pop up, make you react in a way you shouldn't have reacted. It'll just pop up, pop up, pop up. It'll make you, in the bad situation, it'll make you react like the devil wants you to. Why? Because that flesh will pop up. But what do we have to do? Here's the good news. Crucify the flesh. Die daily. Satan is going to make sure that our flesh gets tempted. Okay, temptation is going to just run rampant. But the Bible says in bad times, temptation, 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 bad times. Oh, here's the good news. Jesus will make a way of escape. Just like he said, here's sin, he's going to send people to hell. I'll make a way of escape. He died, paid for everybody's sin. In our world, he said, the devil's in charge down here in the world. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be just horrible. Here's the good news, but I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm greater inside of you than he is out there. Here's that temptation. Sin, temptation to sin. Here's the good news. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. So everybody in this room deals with temptation. It's not just individualized for you. Satan's going to make sure that everybody gets tempted. And it says here, common to man. But here's the good news. God is faithful, and He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. And I question that sometimes. Because, I mean, I'm like right there. And that's exactly what He'll do. He'll let it go to right there. But He'll give you that way of escape. Then it goes on to say, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So bad times, temptation is going to pop up. But God, greater is He that's in you, that will never leave you nor forsake you. He will give you a way of escape. So we see here that the pattern that we're trying to lay here is bad times, but there's good news. What we have to do is either figure it out, read it, or get it preached or taught to us, and then apply it. Because the person that says, I'm a sinner, yeah, I get it, and I'm on my way to hell, but there's good news. All you got to do is get saved. They're not going to get out of it. Same thing. Our world is in a mess. I agree, yes. Craziness. But if you'll just get saved, Jesus will come inside of you, and greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Same thing here. Temptation after temptation after temptation. I might as well just succumb to it or give up. No. There's good news. He will give you a way of escape. You just got to look for it. Some of you might like to do those escape rooms. There's always a way out. And things like that. So Jesus will make sure. So bad times will come. But God specializes in things that are falling apart, putting them back together, or making them better. That's what God does. Satan means it for evil, the Bible says. But God meant it for good. Any situation. Any situation. Satan said, I want to destroy you. He wants your soul to come to hell, but you got saved, and now he can't get your soul to hell. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to devour you and destroy you and tempt you. But even in that bad time, there's good news. You can overcome that. So bad times will come, but God specializes in taking things that's falling apart, putting them back together, and even making them better. Good news and bad times. I could start from the Bible. You had bad times. Adam and Eve sinned. But there was good news. You could be forgiven. The world was going to be destroyed because God was fed up with it. But there's good news. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And his family got him on the ark, and that's why we're still here. All right? The prodigal son went off into bad times. Whoop, but there's good news. You can go home to the Father. And we could just keep going. David sinned with Bathsheba. Bad times. Oh, but there's good news. He spent hours on his bed crying and asking God to forgive him. And he did, and still used him. Jonah, he was told to go to Nineveh, but he went over to bad times, running. Found a ship. All right, got swallowed by a whale. Blech. Spit him up. Good news. You can go preach. He did. Man's sin. There's good news. There's a way out of sin. So we see that any situation we can think of, bad situation, bad times, there's good news. Years ago, I'll read an illustration that I read during my studies. It says here, years ago there was a maid in a hotel that went in to clean the room and found a man that had committed suicide. And there was a note left there. And the note read this, I leave to society a bad example. I leave to my friends the memory of a misspent life. I leave to my parents all the sorrow they can bear in their old age. I leave to my wife a broken heart. I leave to my children the name of a drunkard and someone that committed suicide. I leave to God a lost soul that has insulted His mercy. Bad, bad, bad. But all of that could have been stopped if he was just got the good news. And so that's what we got to realize is there's a whole lot of people out there that could end up like this, but we got to give them the good news. Good news. You don't have to do that. All right? You don't have to write a note. You don't have to do something like that. There's good news. God can take And if this man could have gotten saved, obviously all that would have been 180. So here's a man that his life fell apart because of sin. Yes, it is a shame. But what makes it worse is that Jesus could have saved him and took this torn up life and put it back together and made it better. And so that's what we're going to look tonight in Ruth. Ruth, we're going to look at a bad time, but they found out some good news. And we know the story of Ruth. We won't take time to lay all that out, but we'll just have that mindset. Ruth, okay, where'd she come from? She came from a bad time. And we'll touch it as we go through this. So Ruth tells us, the book of Ruth tells us of a family that fell apart and a woman that became bitter toward God. So God, obviously the devil meant it for evil. There was sin. There was temptation. But God came along with some good news. And God, even when there was bad times, had the good news. So we see here we were even affected by this story. If you read through the book of Ruth, obviously the Bible says before the foundations of the world, we were in God's mind. So He knew that we needed a Savior. And of course, if you read through the book of Ruth, through Ruth came David. And through David, his lineage, came Jesus. And so this wouldn't have taken place if this story hadn't been here. So God specializes in taking bad times and sharing good news. So let's look at some ways that God brought this good news to the bad times. We'll look at the times real quick. We won't take time to read it, but at this time, as the Bible says in the book of Judges, that the judges were ruling at this time. And a society was falling apart. Why? Because the judges, you know, they didn't have the power of a king. Yes, they had the power to do what they were supposed to do, things like that, but people could care less. Everything in the society was falling apart, and several places in the Bible it said that everyone did that which was right in their own eyes because the judges were ruling. And so everything in society was falling apart. Yet in the midst of this trouble, we see that God could take and make goodness of Ruth and Boaz. In other words, we know that as a love story. Ruth and Boaz could be a Hallmark movie. It could be a Hallmark Christmas movie, just like that. There was a love story there, all right? And you never know. It probably would have ended with them kissing and it snowing. You never know. But anyway, if you've ever seen a Hallmark movie, I think they all end that way. But, bad times were there, but good news was there. God still loved, God still could lead, and God still was looking out for everyone. Because He had to make sure that this worked out right so the Savior could come and die for everybody in times past and die for everybody in the future. So, judges were there. Number two, we see here no king in the land. Now, everybody still did that which was right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6, Judges 18:1, Judges 19:1, and Judges 21:25 all indicate that there was no king in the land. And everybody just did that which was right in their own eyes. So bad times. But in that bad time, God specialized bringing good news. So we read in the book of Judges, and we discover that it is characterized by anarchy. In other words, no rules. And of course, our kids of school systems these days, rough. You hear about... I saw a thing on the buses. They still, I guess they're picking them all up now, but then now they're having issues with misbehaving. Go figure. But anyway, anarchy. When there's no rules, there's anarchy. You have to have rules. Same way in the Christian life. The devil tries to talk Christians into saying, you don't want to get all involved in that because of all the rules. All the do's and the don'ts. And there's way more don'ts than there are do's. That's a lie from the devil. But when you don't have rules, you're going to have anarchy. And not only did they have anarchy, they had apostasy. In other words, they acted like there was no God. Now, we know that if you say there's no God, that's not a true statement. But they acted like and they lived like that there was no God. And then that anarchy and apostasy came, and then there was the apathy. They didn't care. They didn't care what was going on. And it just got worse and worse and worse. So what we have to do is, obviously, follow the rules. Follow God and care. Say, okay, there might be some bad times, but where's the good news, God? And He will show you. So we see here the tribes of Israel had become apathetic and they had failed to go up and to take the land that God had given them and claim their inheritances, and they became indifferent to the Lord and His blessings, and so there was bad times. So they also had compromised their Christian standards, and they were living like the heathen. They were living in idolatry and living in immorality. And why? Because they threw all that out. And bad times had come. A lot of times bad time comes because of our own choices. So we're living in that same way of that's very similar today. People live apathetic. They live like there's no God, and they live like they don't care. So we saw, first of all, the judges ruled. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Secondly, there was no king. Everybody did that which was in their own eyes. And so just like a lot of people try today, we're going to turn over some new leaves. We're going to get healthy, or we're going to get trendy, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. They try to figure it out themselves. So what they do? There was judges, no king, and then the third thing we see was that there was man's king. Man's king. And then y'all know who that was. That was Saul. It says here in 1 Samuel 8, "Give us a king that we might be like the other nations." So what had happened, bad times was coming and God was trying to give good news and they didn't listen, and more bad times came and they said, what we got to do, we got to fix it. We need to get a king just like everybody else is doing. And so what they said, give us a king. And of course, this was not God's will. This was what they came up with. They're like, hey, Saul can do it because he's taller than everybody. Saul can do it because he's stronger than everybody. The Bible even talks about he even had the looks. So he had the height, the smarts, the looks, the strength. This has to be God's will. This is what we try to do. And this is where a lot of Americans do it today. They turn over new leaves. They try to figure it out on their own without God, and so forth. They come up with, so still, when judges were ruling, everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. When there was no king, everybody did that which wasn't right in their own eyes. Now, here's what they figured out, and they got there. So he was head and shoulders above the rest, taller, stronger, and he had the looks. It says here, but he was from the tribe of Benjamin, okay, not the tribe of Judah. And if you look in Genesis 49:10, the king had to be from the tribe of Judah if it was going to be God's king. So Saul began with great fervor and success. And he looked like he was going to be the deliverer. This is all going to work out for us. And of course, if you read the Bible, there's going to be another time where another Saul comes, and that's the Antichrist. The Bible talks about how it's going to be chaotic, bad times, and they're going to figure it out. Oh, here it is. This is who we need to have, and it'll happen again, just like it happened here. So we see he ended up being the destroyer, and not the peacemaker, but the peace breaker. The judges ruled. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. The king had no king. Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Man's king. They thought they had it figured out. And this is what we're going to do. And what they did, they tried to blend, I guess, man's opinion and try to make a little bit of God's opinion in there. Well, we need a king. Right? And so let's bring that. And that's what happens today. A lot of people, they'll say, well, you know, I'm not going to be Antichrist, or I'm not going to be, an atheist, and I'm not going to do that. So they'll have a little bit of, and they'll try to figure out how to place God in there. You can't do it that way. God has to be in charge. And so number four we see is God's king. And that's when David got here. And how did that all fit in the book of Ruth? Because Ruth was in the lineage of David. And so all that was taking place. So a man after God's own heart. He was a great picture of Christ. David was born in Bethlehem. So was Christ. David was a shepherd boy. Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. I wonder if God was doing this on purpose. When David first started reigning, he was a little bit rejected by the people. He defeated Goliath, just like Jesus defeated Satan. So, no king. When we are, this is kind of where we are now. Everybody's doing that which was right in their own eyes. Man's king. We're going to see it take place again with the Antichrist. But God's king was Jesus. And so we're looking here at four things in our conclusion. The four chapters of Ruth we see here, first of all, weeping took place in chapter 1. And Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. Elimelech, he was the man of the house. There was a famine. And instead of praying and doing what God wanted him to do. He said, I'll figure it out on my own, and took off. Obviously, he took his wife and his two sons over there, and of course, we know the story. His sons married ungodly women, women of the world, and then Elimelech dies, and Mahlon and Chilion die. And of course, Naomi is, she's going to start to leave her daughter-in-laws. And so we see weeping in chapter 1, weeping. So if people are in the bad times and they don't find the good news, this is what's going to happen, weeping. And Naomi was parting with Ruth and Orpah, and so Naomi, she was weeping with disappointment. But then we also see Ruth weeping. It was a different type of weeping. Elimelech was weeping that she'd lost her husband. Naomi had weeping because she lost her husband and her lost her children and so forth. And now she's going back. And so she was disappointed. Now Ruth starts shedding tears of devotion. And if you look in chapter 16 or verse 16 of chapter 1, she was weeping of devotion. And she said, you're my mother-in-law, and wherever you go, that's where I'm going to be. And so we see here that even in bad times, there was some good news. And the good news came to Ruth. If you'll stay with your mother-in-law, things are going to work out. And also, verse 16, she not only tells her that I'm going to go wherever you're going. And I'm just going to go there. And then verse 16 ends with that your God will be my God. And so she got saved there at the end of chapter 1. So we see weeping in chapter 1. Number 2, we see in chapter 2, we're going to see working. So they got back and they needed something to eat. And you know the story. They were reaping the harvest and things like that. And in the corners, they would leave a little bit of leftovers there for the people, the beggars and the poor people and things like that. And of course, Ruth, she not only said, Naomi, I'm staying right here with you, and I'm going to accept your God, and He's going to be my God. And so not only was she weeping, a weeping of devotion, she was working. She went to the field and started gleaning and got them some food. So weeping with devotion, it says here, working, doing what she could do, not quitting. And so how do we take good news from bad things? We weep and pray and ask God, teach us something. Secondly, we do what we can do. We can work. And that's what the devil wants you to do. When you're going through bad times, he wants you to give up. He wants you to not read your Bible. It might be work to read your Bible, but if you're going through a bad time, read your Bible. The devil don't want you to pray. It might be work to pray. God, I don't understand this. God, I wouldn't have chosen this. I don't even agree with this, but it's work. But I'm going to trust you. And that's what Ruth did here. She went out and did what she could. She got the corn from the corners. She started praying and asking God. And we see here that God brought her Boaz. Now that would not have happened if she'd have stayed in the world. But she came back. It would not have happened if she hadn't have got saved. But she got saved. It would not have happened if she hadn't have started working and doing what she could. Then God looked down and said, okay, there you go. And she brought Boaz. And you know the story. He comes out there and to her and he's telling him, hey, leave a little bit more. Yeah, for this lady right here, make sure there's a lot down there. And so forth. And so, anyway, you know the story. She starts asking Boaz, to take care of things like that. And so in chapter 3, we see waiting. She was weeping in chapter 1. She started working in chapter 2. Chapter 3, she's waiting. So again, while she was waiting, she kept working. While she was waiting, she kept praying. While she was waiting, she kept doing what she was supposed to do. In chapter 3, verse 2, it says here that Ruth, at Boaz's feet in the field, she didn't know who he was at this time, and she didn't know what he could do, but she made the request. And that's in chapter 2, verse 10. But in chapter 3, verse 11, it says here, he said, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requests or requirest. So everything that she was asking for while she was working, and now she was waiting, he told her in verse 11 of chapter 3, everything that you ask for, I'm going to do it. Down in verse 18 of chapter 3, it says here, he said, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in the rest until we have finished the thing this day. And so, of course, we see here she had made the request. So now we see that she had to wait. And Jesus will finish what He said. Of course, there are several places in the Bible that I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He's able to do what He's told me He'll do. Jesus said it was finished on the cross. So Jesus finishes what He started. So we see here Boaz finished what he started. So in chapter 1, we saw her weeping, sorrowful. Chapter 2, we see her working. She was doing some type of service. Chapter 3, we see her waiting in a submission. Waiting on God. And then chapter 4, we'll see the wedding, the satisfaction. So in the bad times, a bad situation, a lot of people would have given up, like Orpah. She gave up, she stayed. But Ruth did not give up, even though she was weeping with sorrow, even though she had to work and do some type of service. She was waiting in a submissive, God, do whatever you want to do. And then finally, praise the Lord, we see here God brought the good news and the satisfaction in the wedding. So Ruth married Boaz. And in marrying Boaz, we see they had Obed. And of course, he grew up, he got married, and he had Jesse. And Jesse grew up, and he had David. And of course, if you look at the lineage of Christ, he is known as the son of David. So let God put your life back together. Don't allow Satan and sin and rebellion and even bitterness, like call me Mara, not Naomi, rob you of what God has for you. So God can take a bad thing, and if you'll listen to the good news, He will make it turn out all right. And so we're going to maybe do a little bit of a series there on Ruth. That was kind of setting it up. That was chapters 1 through 4, weeping, working, waiting, and the wedding. So you can look at that in our life. We have our weeping because of our sin, but we can work and serve God. And we can submit to Him and wait on Him, because He's going to come back one day, and they call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so praise the Lord, even in bad times we can have good news. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, thank You for this story. And Lord, obviously we know You put all the stories in the Bible so that we could learn from them. And Lord, we can see through this situation tonight, even though we go through bad times in our life, You specialize in taking and putting things back together, making things better. But Lord, we have to do our part of weeping and going through the situation. And Lord, then working and doing our part and praying when we need to and reading our Bible when we need to and doing right when we need to. And Lord, I just ask You to help us continue to do that. And Lord, all the way until the wedding in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.